I'd like to share with you from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 10th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Jesus here is speaking. He says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave to be like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear those who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head..." Making it easier on God every day, "are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household." Yikes, that's a hard word, isn't it? "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Among the words that Jesus said were that nothing that is covered will be uncovered, and nothing that is secret will not be made known. There's that word that Derek told you I was going to focus on today, the word secret. Have you ever had a secret and tried to keep it? It's really hard, isn't it? Have you ever felt like somebody else knew something that you'd really like to know, or that somebody else had a secret that you'd really like to know? There are some companies that depend on you feeling that way. For example, if you wear deodorant and don't want anybody to know that you wear deodorant, there is a brand that says that they have found out how you do that. Do you know what it's called? Secret, of course. There is a woman by the name of Victoria, who I understand has a secret, although I'm not sure she has that much to hide anymore. I think it has something to do, though, with underwear.
Yes, it does.
There is
that,
a company
that is the secret.
I never shop there, so. There's a company that makes baked beans by the name of Bush Baked Beans that claim that they're so good because they have a secret recipe. Have you seen their commercials? The dog knows what the recipe is, and you get the sense that the dog really wants to tell you what the secret is, but somehow the dog's never quite able to share it. Or in other words, the recipe is still a secret. There's a book that was published a number of years ago called The Secret Life of Bees. I thought bees are kind of interesting. I'd like to know more about bees, so I got the book. It turns out it has absolutely nothing to do with bees. I'm still trying to figure out what the book's really about. I guess it's just a secret. If you have a secret and you'd like to share your secret, but you don't want anybody to know that it's you who had that secret, did you know that there is a website just for you? It's called Post Secret. About a week ago, we celebrated Father's Day, and so as you might expect, many of the posts in this last week have had to do with fathers. One of them read like this. This was one person's secret that they wanted to share but didn't want anybody to know who was sharing it is. "This week, I will head down to the ocean to spread my father's ashes. I'm scared to death that when forced to accept his death and say goodbye, I will never feel whole again." Kind of hard secret, isn't it? When Dawn and I got to South Africa about 3 weeks ago, we arrived with about 40 other people who are also arriving around the same time for the competition. The competition was about a two-hour ride away from Johannesburg in a place called Potchefstroom. We happened to arrive about the same time that most of the French team arrived. We were sitting in the airport trying to make some conversation with each other, but realizing that most of us didn't speak a whole lot of French and most of them didn't speak a whole lot of English, and so conversation was kind of futile. We got on the airplane, and one of the things the French started talking about is some of their strategies for competition. And one of their strategies was they were going to, when they got to the hotel, they were going to try to stay together and check in together so they'd have to make all of us who were part of the American team wait. Well, what they didn't know is that Dawn had taken a little bit of French in high school. And so as we were getting off the airplane, she heard that they were coming up with this plan and said, "Good plan. I hope it works." Suddenly they realized that their secret was out. This week, one of the things I've been trying to figure out is what the secret of recovering from a torn muscle is. I met with a sports medicine doctor on Thursday from the Wellington practice, the practice that works with the Bengals, and asked him, what's the secret of recovering from a torn muscle? And basically, he said, there is no secret. Basically, he said, it just takes time. You got about 5 weeks off, and then about 2 weeks of really light training, and then you know better than anybody how to build it back. As you probably know, I was recently at a weightlifting competition in just outside of Johannesburg in South Africa for the World Powerlifting Championships. And I went down for my opening attempt at my opening lift, which is a squat. I can get about that far down now. And my leg ripped, or a muscle right here in my leg ripped, and I didn't come back up. I had to withdraw from the competition. When they were deciding whether or not to take me to the hospital, one of the first things that somebody asked me, who's a very good friend of mine, said, "Aren't you a pastor? Isn't God supposed to like you?" And then said, "What chance is there for the rest of us? If this kind of thing could happen to you, what chance is there for the rest of us?" Sometimes we get the idea that God is very distant and far away and beyond our knowing. And that there are only some people who can figure out the mysteries of God. And so we buy into the idea that there are only a few people special enough to know the secrets of God. And so we give them names like Pope and Bishop and Pastor. If you have that idea, then here's my message to you this morning. There is no secret. We all have the same access to the same God. We read the same Bible, and so we see the same God in the Bible as anybody else ever has. We pray to the same God. We receive the same Holy Spirit that's inspired people like Mother Teresa, like John Wesley, like St. Francis of Assisi. When Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, one of the things he did was he opened to us the very heart of God so that we all have the same access to God as anybody else ever did or ever will. Since getting back from South Africa, one of the things that I've been asking is, what was there to learn from the experience? What's there to learn from having wanted to do so well and worked so hard and yet failed so miserably? And I thought I'd take just a couple of minutes to share where I am right now, some of the things that I think that I've learned, because I believe that God is in everything. That doesn't mean God causes everything to happen, but I think God is in everything, which means there's something that God has been doing in this whole experience that I'm still trying to figure out. And here's where I am. The scripture today said God wants that what you hear whispered to be proclaimed from the housetops. Here's one of the things I think I've learned, and it has to do with being broken. I'm broken. We're broken. Literally, that's true in that there is a part of my leg that's just about a 2.7 centimeter part of a muscle that was there before that just isn't there anymore. I'd like to believe that if you only work hard enough and want something badly enough, that it can happen. I found out that that's not true. That's a part of the heartbreak in all of this. Turns out it just isn't true. I should tell you, by the way, though, that in South Africa, one of the redeeming qualities is that the doctors there were brilliant. Dr. Gerot was the sports medicine doctor that was there at the powerlifting competition, had been contracted with International Powerlifting Federation to be there. I asked him the question, why does this kind of thing happen? Why do muscles get more brittle? And you know what he said? He said, sometimes things like this just happen. Your muscles get more brittle as you get older. Did you hear what he said? He called me old. He said, you're getting older. I'd like to believe it wasn't true, though. He said, it just happens. Muscles get more brittle as you age. You're not bulletproof. Though when he said it with a kind of English Afrikaans accent, it sounded at the time really profound. I want a cool accent like that someday. We are all broken, every last one of us. Every one of us has things that are not right. They are not the way that they should be. If you wander over to the narthex today, you may notice that things are not the way that they usually are in the church today. There is a whole bunch of furniture that used to be out in the parlor that now is in the gathering area. Do you know why that is? We've got something starting this afternoon that only happens for about a week out of the year. This is not a secret. If it is, I want it to be known. I'm trying to proclaim what's been whispered for the last week, what people have been working hard, putting signs up, getting this week together. Do you know what's happening this week? And it starts when? Tonight. Tonight at 6 o'clock. The theme of Vacation Bible School this year is Out of Egypt. The Israelites had spent about 400 years living in Egypt, and they wanted out. Do you know why? Why did they want to leave Egypt? They were slaves, and things were getting rough there. Not only were they slaves, the job of most of them was to make bricks, but for some reason, their boss didn't like them very much, and so was making it as hard as he could to make bricks. He would have them make bricks with straw in them, which apparently isn't really good for making strong bricks. He just simply wanted to make their job hard. So he told them to make them with straw. In other words, something was broken. Do you know what that's like to feel broken? Like something is broken in your life? Where is your brokenness? Here's a part of the good news this morning. When Jesus says that there's nothing secret that will not become known, maybe a part of what he's doing is telling us that we don't need to be afraid of sharing our fears and insecurities with each other. We don't need to be afraid of sharing them, especially with God. God knows them anyway. Why not let him know that we know what he already knows? My favorite part of the Exodus story is there's a point where it says, the people cried out to God, and God heard their cries. What if instead of working to be strong or to be perfect, we worked instead to be honest and to be open, to share things like our fears and insecurities with each other, which usually are things that are shared, whispered in the darkness? What if we told them out in the light? What if we were open about things like our insecurities? Maybe then we would be more likely to hear God's words to us, "You are forgiven." Jesus said, after all, that not one sparrow will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. Or in other words, you are known. God knows you. God knows everything about you. The verse that I find myself coming back to in making sense of the whole experience in South Africa is a verse that can be found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, actually the second letter, the 12th chapter. Paul had been struggling with something that was wrong with him. We don't know what it was, but he called it a thorn in his flesh. Some people think maybe it was epilepsy. He just calls it a thorn in his flesh. And he starts out by praying, "Lord, make me better. Make this go away." But God decided not to make it go away and not to heal him. And so Paul's prayer changed over time. His prayer became instead, "What am I supposed to learn from this?" And Paul came to hear God saying to him, "Here's what I've been trying to teach you from that. I've been trying to teach you that my grace is sufficient. Strength is made perfect in weakness." Which I think means that what heals us is not accomplishment, but relationship. Maybe our greatest accomplishment is to open our hearts fully to God. In the verses that, just before the verses that I shared with you today, there's a passage where Jesus tells the disciples, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like a... Do you know how it goes? You have to become like a child. Then he goes on to say that the servant is not above the master. We don't need to discover anything that we don't already know or invent something that's never been imagined. If you want to be a disciple, you can know what a disciple looks like. All you have to do is look to Jesus. Jesus didn't retaliate when he was attacked, and so being a disciple means not responding to hostility in kind. When people didn't like what Jesus was saying in telling the truth, Jesus kept on telling it anyway. So being a disciple means telling the truth, even when people don't want to hear it. When Jesus faced challenges like death, he wasn't afraid, and so being a disciple means not needing to be afraid. We can live as if everything is uncovered or revealed. Since God has revealed himself to us, we don't need to be afraid of revealing ourselves to others. Since God knows everything, we can live life out in the open as if everybody knows everything. Since God loves everyone, we can treat everyone the same. We don't need to work to treat some people some way, other people a different way. Because we are told, even the hairs of our head are numbered by God. Let me leave you with a story. It's a story about a guy by the name of Sir William Osler, who is supposed to be one of the greatest doctors that modern medical history has ever known. He died in 1919, so he lived about 100 years ago. He's one of the four guys that founded the Johns Hopkins University. Here's the story that I absolutely love about him. The story is that one day he went to visit a pediatric ward in London. And he saw most of the kids playing together on one end of the room. But there was one little girl who was playing all by herself on another end of the room with a doll. And so he asked about her. And he found out that what had happened is her mother had died when she was younger, and her father had only visited her once, and when he did, he brought that doll, which was now her most treasured possession. So when Dr. Osler came onto the pediatric ward, he didn't go over to the group of kids that were playing. He went to the one girl who was all by herself. He walked up to her and said, "May I sit down, please?" in a voice loud enough that everybody else in the room could hear. He said to her, "I can't stay long on this visit, but I wanted to see you badly." And then he, in a very quiet voice, whispered into her ear so that only she could hear. They carried on a conversation for a while, and then when he got up to leave, his last words, again loud enough so all the other kids in the room could hear, were, "Now you won't forget our secret, will you? And if you don't mind, don't tell anyone." You know what happened after that? All the other kids wanted to know her. They wanted to spend time with her to find out what was so important about this person that the great doctor would want to tell her a secret and find out what her secret was. If you're here this morning feeling like no one cares, here's the good news. God cares. We are all broken, and God still loves us. God loves you, and this is no secret. If you've been carrying with you a secret, if you've been living life afraid that somebody will find out, you've been found out. God knows, and you are forgiven. You can live a life out in the open because there is no secret. Now, if you already know this secret, I will bet that at some point in this week, you're going to find somebody who doesn't know it yet. Somebody who's afraid or hurt or alone. It's up to you to say out loud what's only been whispered in the quietness of God's heart. Let them know that they are loved. There is no secret. May it be so. Amen.